Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it is finally over, done with, in the past. Now you can set your eyes on next year, Saudi Arabia. I believe you guys are heading over there.
Yeah, you know, I hear odds are 50-50. It won't even happen in Saudi Arabia. So
that's okay. Vegas will make a pull for it again and get it thrown right back to Vegas for the third straight year.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, God, no.
You know, as I've said to people, I could see a SummerSlam, Rumble, one of the big four, but I think we need to take a break, Mania. But you know what? TKO seems to do things that kind of scratch heads. And the bottom line is, if they think they're going to make more money in Vegas because of all the extracurriculars, then they'll just come back. They don't care because, you know, there's so many fans that may not like it, but they're still going to come to Vegas.
Right. Absolutely.
They're going to come wherever Mania is, whether you like it or not.
Sure. And a lot of those fans do come for, you know, everything else that's going on, which, you know, there's also talk about if it does happen overseas, that they would also still run like the Fan Fest and NXT and other AAA other events in a city in the States simultaneously, so they could still have and they'd probably do like a huge WrestleMania watch party or something like that. So just very interesting. Started on Wednesday for you. I mean, what was it like gearing up, going in, and were there any setbacks in terms of making sure everything was where it needed to be? Because you had a lot of moving parts going on this whole week.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. You know, there was a little problem with the ring over at GCW. It ended up holding strong, and then on Friday, I guess the top rope snapped, and they were kind of going crazy, and Rocky had told him about the turnbuckles, and he ended up heading over there, and, you know, Brett was all pissed, and it was like, well, they replaced the turnbuckle. You know, you do have, you know, how many matches and how many thousands of pounds in there? Oh, this ring, what a piece of shit. Dude, it's the same ring you've been using for the last 5 years. You never had an issue with it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, those things do happen, you know. And once they, on Friday, did the turnbuckle and re-put the top rope together, it made it through the clusterfuck. So I guess we're all good.
Yeah. And how was it for, you know, having to have, you know, various, you know, members, you know, some at FSW at the arena, some at HyperX, you know, the main crew at HyperX. How did that go? Because I know that was, again, you know.
It went like it usually did. A lot of the students didn't show up, you know. And, you know, Future Shock's coming up, and they're all banding for being in the tournament. Hey, am I in the tournament? I don't know yet. I guess it depends, because there's other people that are going to get a spot over you. Like, there's always excuses. Oh, yeah. That's great that you're taking responsibility. Oh, you know, I'll make sure that, well, there ain't no next time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we had two venues. I can't see you all week. You know, you can get up at 5 a.m. to be on channel fucking 8, but you can't like show up one day to help break down a ring. You know, Tuesday we had 6 people set up the ring at the Horseshoe. And I believe the 6, one of them included Rocky. You know, and, you know, always going to be Phil and a Marcus and, you know, but there was stuff going on. So, but people, oh, yeah. And then, you know, nothing there. And then Wednesday, we had a setup at the HyperX. And we didn't have a great turnout, but we had a pretty good turnout because everybody's trying to show face at HyperX because, you know, they know I'm going to be there. And
right.
They, it's kind of easier because all three shows were at the FSW arena. So I was there the majority of the time, shot over, of course, to the HyperX. So Wednesday ended up being pretty quiet, pretty smooth. Boom, we were done. Thursday, we had the 2 o'clock show at FSW. So hit that, made sure everything was okay, jetted over to the 4 o'clock. You know, few issues, you know, the Delgados and promotion. And unfortunately, they weren't as respectful as they should have been, you know, walking into the production rooms or the media rooms and hanging their shit on fucking the cameras of the HyperX that are sitting in the media room. So there was heat there, not real happy with the, you know, the way they conducted business. Thursday night, we did the ID showcase, went beautifully. You know, if you see Gabe Sapolsky's posts, you know, as much as he likes the FSW arena, he really put over the HyperX, and they really enjoyed everything there. And then, of course, title match, and they had 3 hours, and they took 2 hours and 58 minutes, 17 matches, because 16 wasn't enough. And Thunder Rosa ended the night at 12:58. But, you know, the bartenders, they were extremely happy. They had three shows. First one didn't do so great. Second one did really good. And the third one did even better. So now they're back in, we're in good graces. Everybody's happy, you know, Thursday. Friday, you know, 11 a.m., juicy show. He doesn't answer what else is new. You know, finally gets there. Nobody's got music. Same thing Thursday. I had to jet back because on Devotion. The Manny Lemons forgot his fucking hard drive, and Sky's got all the stuff on the Google Drive, he says. So I jet back over there, and it's like, oh, well, I got most of them. I'm like, okay, well, send the Google Drive, and we'll keep it in my computer that plays the music. Oh, I got to get three more people. I'm like, dude, send me the fucking music. Like, what are you not understanding? Like, you can't. Go find them. It's going to take you 15 minutes. I could start downloading the music. I need to go because it's already 5:20 and they haven't started yet, you know? And it's just like, right. Man, the unpreparedness of people is just mind-boggling. But we got through Thursday, and then Friday happened, and, you know, we did that. And we had the 11. Unfortunately, 2 o'clock, Texas Wrestling Cartel. Good, great, 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 great card. And they didn't draw very well at all. Last year, they had a really strong draw. And this year, they had the Good Brothers. And they had Brian Cage versus Jimmy House. Right. And not very many people there. So it seems like now a lot of people are struggling with some of their attendance. And the ID showcase did similar. It's just because it's different. It's hard to tell. But we did pretty well. But then Friday, the Mecca just kept selling tickets, and we legitimately sold out. You know, yeah. There was over 500 people there, and, you know, the show was awesome. You know, the people loved it. Everything went perfectly. The timing on it was great, and we definitely hit a home run Friday night. Saturday, a little awkward because a lot of people really didn't understand what Natural Born Killers was about, seemed to get into it. And again, another solid crowd, about 300 people there. And, yep. You know, Matt Riddle, Shayna Baszler, they were very over, very excited, yeah. You know, for a solid, solid show. And then we ended things off with the Spark Joshi, and they did very well also. They probably sold about 250 tickets. Probably had 300 in attendance. Japanese women went a little less than 2 hours. And, you know, from beginning to end, everything was extremely good. Everybody was happy. They loved the, you know, I think the biggest winner this weekend was the HyperX Arena. You know, it is now very well known in the wrestling confines of what arena, what a great arena. You know, I'm going to have to be fighting off these companies trying to get, trying to book it.
Yeah, no kidding, right? You know, when you look at how the, you know, the Mecca stacked up in terms of, you know, just really, you know, a full sellout, was it something that, you know, where were you, let's say, 2 weeks ago versus, you know, on the night of, did you see the, you know, the ticket sales rising, you know, over the last couple of weeks, or did some of this come out of that last minute push of, oh, wow, you know, we were expecting three and now we got five?
No, no. You know, a few days before, we knew we were going to have at least $450.
Wow.
But, you know, the last week, we were just continually selling and selling and selling every day. The Natural Born Killers was the one that was, we thought, hey, maybe we'll get 150 to 200. You know, that's cool. But the last day, the day of, we sold, let's say the last 2 or 3 days, we probably sold over 100 tickets in the last couple of days.
Wow.
Maybe. You know, the numbers were really good because they were borderline. They were, you know, mediocre to pretty good. And then it ended up being really good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's, you know, amazing. A lot of people, you know, probably figuring out where they were going to be, what's going on. And now all of a sudden you got to remember, you know, Kevin shows up at WrestleCon on Thursday and Friday.
Right.
Obviously, when he comes to the table, he's going to pitch it to. We had people handing out flyers. We had a lot of our FSW crew, the Jimmy Jacks, and you know, and Phil and Marcus, because they needed people. And I recommended, you know, a handful of our guys that are always working hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got the position because of that. But they were handing out flyers. And then we had one of our students sitting at Kevin's table, working hard, getting the word out and selling some tickets there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, that combination, you know, really, really helped. So the number, like I said, the numbers for the Mecca, you know, that's 2 sellouts in a row, bro. It's like, you know,
yeah.
I never really like to use the word sellout, but the Chris Bay sellout. And now this one, you know, it's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we didn't sell out a 74-seat arena. Oh,
right. Out. Is there, you know, what stood out to you on this card overall in terms of, you know, what you got to see in the passing of or even with the feedback that you were getting from the fans?
I'll tell you what, man. I had no opportunity to look at the first three matches. Front row stage was sold out. Second row stage was sold out. First row was sold out. Second row. And then it was like before you guys was able to catch it, you know, what happens is a few of your FSW fans and you forgot they bought a ticket. And then all of a sudden, this isn't like the Silverton where you can kind of keep adding those front rows. You can't do that at the HyperX. You get a number, you're kind of done. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I want a refund. It's like, okay, first off, motherfucker, there ain't no refunds, okay? We're not refunding you. I know you're supposed to be in third row. So I was able to, you know, maneuver things and get people seats. I even moved a couple of people into the VIP suite. You know what I mean? It's like, so I was crazy. And then finally I said, you know what, match 4, I'm taking a break. I went into the VIP suite, saw my guy Hassan, took a seat next to him. I couldn't even tell you if Glenn was there. I don't remember. I know he was at one of the shows. I don't know. I saw him. Yeah, that's right. I talked to him Thursday night. Sorry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I actually sat and watched pretty much the entire Leo Rush Bodie match, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, Leo Rush is his new persona and character really clicks with people, man. And Bodie hung, you know, again. Yeah. Nobody looks at that match and be like, oh, look at Leo Rush making this young kid, boy, who doesn't deserve it. It's like, you know what? You look at Bodie and your response is more like, man, when is this kid getting signed? So,
right. Absolutely. 100%. Did you think that, you know, in terms of with that type of crowd there, that crowd helped hype up the scramble match? Did that help with, you know, some of those younger guys who, you know, like a guy like Jaden Cole, who, I mean, this really, you know, it's kind of his first time in front of this massive of a crowd and this big of a show. That's crazy.
I would say, you know, other than Ice, you know, maybe Jimmy House has had some of those opportunities at PCW.
Yeah.
Different kind of crowd. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know Steve Gipke that well. As a, you know, Cross loves him. But
right.
The atmosphere, being on a show with so many big names and technically opening the show, I think, you know, I don't know. Butterflies, nervousness, I would imagine it has to be there. You have to go out there. You got to produce. You know, people are going to comment. You know, As I said, I didn't see a lot, so it's hard for me to gauge certain things. You know, I saw a little of I saw most of the Brian Cage match, and literally 30 minutes before the match, we were on probably match two or three, and Gringo Loco wasn't even there yet. So I'm like, they're about to introduce him, and I hadn't seen him. And I'm like, fuck, are they going to introduce him and he's going to show up? And according to Cage, Gringo Loco literally showed up right as they're about to introduce the match. They probably, you know, had 5 minutes of, hey, how you doing? And, yeah. You know, and what I saw, maybe it was a little short, I'll be honest with you, but
sure.
The Respawn Door did very well. There was some good, you know, that match was what it needed to be. You saw some very exciting moments in there, and the crowd was receptive. And, you know, then you had TJP and Gresham, and, you know, that was a solid match that people seemed to really enjoy. And yeah. I didn't get to see much of the triple threat with Holiday, Tito, and Hammerstone. But I heard that delivered, you know. And I did watch the entire main event, and that absolutely delivered.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was a showcase, and it really shows, you know, all those companies that come to town, and, you know, Progress from England. I had to drop something off at the Horseshoe, and I was surprised there wasn't very many people at that show either. You know what I mean? So yeah. Other than a couple of the big GCW shows, I don't know any other shows that did better than Mecca.
Right.
So sure. You know, that shows, you know, the power of Cross. Like, I can't believe I didn't think of calling it Crossomania. You know what I mean? Where I've seen a lot of people call it that. And, you know, FSW, you know, despite what we do, I always look at us like that, you know, company that hasn't reached those heights. But, man, we've done some amazing, amazing things in our 17 years. And, you know, these are the shows when I get to see some of those old faces that I helped, when you see a Royce Isaacs, who, you know, was a guy breaking in, and me putting him with Jarrell Nelson helped skyrocket their career. Not that they didn't have most of the, you know, opportunity because of what they did, but I put them together, and knowing, right. You know, before anybody really kind of knew who he was, and a Cross and a Bodie and all these young guys and Hammerstone, that all these guys that came in because Joe asked them, and they came in because of the respect that I believe that they have for me, Brian Cage, another one. Like, hey, I'll work you a deal, bro. You know, and I always say, that's your deal? What are you kidding? I can't afford that, you know? But, oh, Brian wanted to work. And all these guys have, you know, hey, Brian Cage and Matt Hardy at Sam's Town still going to be one of the biggest shows in FSW history, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's wonderful getting that opportunity and being able to, hey, here's a nice little payday for my guys on NBK, where Tito and Royce and some of those other cats, you know, all got that opportunity to, you know, to be on the shows. And some of the younger guys that I really like and respect, like Ice and Bryce Saturn, who I've become a big fan of, and Jaden Cole, who's really skyrocketed. And then, as you saw in the pre-show, I said I was going to put the Mariachis against Pretty City. And it was like, you know what? Live Danger, man. I really like them. I like them as people. They've been very helpful. They work really hard. They got a good little gimmick going. And Main Event, you know, they worked with us at House of Glory. And I really enjoyed their work. So I was like, hey, let's have a cool little, you know, four-way tag, which is featuring some great young talent.
Yeah.
So, you know, we mixed in the stars, but we also on this Mecca, you know, have some people, you know, that in the next couple of years might be headlining Mecca.
Yeah. Right. No kidding. Right. That brings up the question, you know, is there a possibility that another Mecca will run this year at some point?
Never say never, you know. Let's take a deep breath, you know what I mean? We got May 15th at the HyperX.
Right.
You know, I know certain people who will not be on hand. Mariachis have been previously booked for that one at Santino's, and they're the champions there also. So they're not going to. Brittany Brooks is booked elsewhere on that one, and she's not going to make it, which is fine because we have some ideas of where we're going. After what happened, I'll announce the match already that's going to happen. Live Danger against Pretty City Express is going to be a match. If you watch Future Shock at the last show, well, we got an opponent for Jaden Cole. It's going to be Fox Valentine. So there's your second match. She demanded it, and we're going to have that match at, I believe it's going to be called Changing the Game, but Zamaya is going to be taking on MK.
Nice.
So those are three matches. And right now, because there was not a lot going on, you know, Bateman defeated Royce at Natural Born Killers. So there's no ready-made opponent. So we're going to dig deep. And, man, I'll announce it now. Why not? I decided that if somebody was going to be deserving of a title shot, a former heavyweight champion who over a year ago, we never thought was going to wrestle again, Shogun, who is looking like a beast.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like, let's get it done. Bateman versus Shogun for the FSW Heavyweight Championship. And believe me, G Sharp chomping at the bit to get his hands on Jay Vidal. Yeah. Don't know if we're going to make that match happen on May 15th, but if we don't do it that day, you know, you could pencil that one in for the anniversary show in June, because we're running super shows every single month.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess Mikey says changing the game will be May 15th.
You know, he wrote it on the thing. I think I might have put Moment of Truth. There's certain ones that I always like. I always like Moment of Truth. I always like Day of Reckoning. You know, there's always the names that I always think are cool. Got some matches, and you know, we got plans for the anniversary show. We're gonna have a Future Shock May 2nd. We'll have May 15th at the HyperX, and then in between the two HyperX shows, we're gonna have a full blown, you know, high octane type show May 30th, which could be Moment of Truth, could be Day of Reckoning. No risk, no reward. What, you know, whatever we're looking for.
Nice. You mentioned a little bit about it. Natural Born Killers. So what do you think overall in terms of, you know, the feel, I think the fans had to get used to what the show actually was. But once they did, it seemed like, you know, there was a good momentum to what was going on.
Yeah, it seemed once there was more understanding, you know, a lot of times people don't understand what's going on. Like, for example, Tito Escondido, for example, thought that the match was going to be later. You could see him on camera looking at the referee like, we're doing this now? And it was like, yeah. So, you know, he had to take off. You know, he had his Jordans on, a T-shirt, a hat. But, you know, Tito was ready for a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny that was the, you know, the opening. And, you know, he didn't.
See, you know, sometimes things are unpredictable. Literally, yeah. Tito did not know that they were going to fight right then and there. You know, then we had the next match, which was Bret the Threat and Joe DeShue, Josh Barnett disciple. And guess who shows up? Josh Barnett.
Yep. Yeah, who's looking for work right now, apparently.
I guess so. We might have to now no more Bloodsport. Maybe it's time for Killer Kross and FSW to take over that spot.
Yeah, and then you could literally have Barnett do a crossover.
Yes. You know, maybe he, you know, believe me, in my mind, Josh Barnett versus Kross did cross my mind on numerous occasions.
It'd be very interesting. I think that would be wonderful to see.
Then I was adding up the budget with, you know, having Matt Riddle and Shayna Baszler and Gresham. It was like, yeah, maybe we'll pass on bringing in Josh Barnett on this
one. You know, overall, and, you know, when you look at that in terms of the that aspect of it, did the overall budget meet your expectations of what you got for that in terms of performance wise? Did everyone go in there and give you what you thought was top notch performance? Because, you know, sometimes you hear about people who, you know, go in there, kind of go through the motions, and then that's that.
Well, see, the problem with Natural Born Killers, and again, I'm not going to say yes or no in that situation, because yes, they did what they were supposed to do. You know what I mean? But the thing is, Natural Born Killers isn't set up to be a 20-minute wrestling match. So right. You can't like, oh, look at Matt Riddle. He mailed it in. Him and Jonathan Gresham, and they only went like 9 minutes. You know what right. I mean? But in that format, that is what it dictates. Right. You know, UFC, you know, MMA stuff, this is a kind of a hybrid thing. So having Shayna Baszler win in 6 minutes would, for what I paid her, would it be like, oh, man, if they would have went 13, it would have been way better. I don't know. Would it have been more boring?
Right.
So they had their fight, and the way the fight ended, it's either you liked it or you didn't. It's kind of like watching Brock Lesnar. So Obafemi beats him in less than 5 minutes. Would it have been a better match if he beat him in 8 minutes? I don't know, because Lesnar matches, he's had some wars that have gone from beginning to end with like Drew McIntyre and it lasts 6 or 7 minutes. But yeah. Then we've also seen him have a war when he went with Roman Reigns that probably went 45 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I would have probably rather watched 40 minutes of it, but then again, maybe not.
Right. What kind of value does it have when you have a guy like Cutthroat Cody come out in Mizani's corner and instantly know what he needs to do in terms of bringing life to that crowd? Because it seemed like once that match happened, Cody kind of set the tone for the crowd to be a little more relaxed and a little more into it, that you don't have to just sit there and be polite, that you could actually be a little more animated. And it was brilliant to see.
Well, yeah, and then you had Ryan Walker brought out a guy who wanted to fight on the show, who is a UFC fighter, legit. Like, yeah. Those guys get thousands. Even if he fought on this card, he wasn't getting thousands, but yeah. He still wanted to do it because it was fun to him, Chris Curtis. And he had a great time and he loved it. So there was a lot of interaction there. And that's the part of Natural Born Killers that the pro wrestling portion kind of brings that entertainment value to it.
Right.
And, you know, I remember, you know, we saw some wrestling spots or somebody getting dumped on the ring apron and it looked kind of vicious. And, you know, I remember the very first Natural Born Killers, I believe it was, Tom Lawler beat Douglas James with a pile driver. And despite it not being an MMA legit move, you know, the crowd popped huge for it. And it's like, you don't want everybody to be doing the same things and stuff like that. You want that pro wrestling because who's coming to the show? Well, I would say 95% wrestling fans, because most MMA fans aren't checking to see what wrestling shows are MMA influenced. So we're basically getting wrestling fans that we have to say, hey, this is something totally different. Let's see if this is something you could like, just like some people like women wrestling, some people like intergender wrestling, and some people like midget wrestling, and some people like the Natural Born Killers blood sport, which packs the house every time they have it. Between Joey Janela and Bloodsport, those are the two largest attended events Mania week. So, you know, if there's no Bloodsport, hey, maybe FSW and Killer Cross go to Saudi Arabia and present Natural Born Killer 6. Oh, still early. We got 364 more days to make it happen.
I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for
somebody
you.
Somebody makes me an offer, and that offer is good enough. I'm on that 17-hour flight, brother.
Well, you know, can you get together with GCW and you know, be part of that collective and.
Sure. Yeah. I'm willing. You know, I'm 60. How many more of these do I got? That, you know, hopefully I got before I drop, but how many more do I got as a wrestling promoter? You know what I mean?
Yeah, at least 15, I think, right?
Yeah, that's good. I don't know. How many 75-year-old wrestling promoters are out there? But how many 60-year-old wrestling promoters are as good as me? I don't know. I can't think of many.
I mean, how many 60-year-old wrestling promoters are out there, too? Think about that. So,
well, yeah, there's probably a lot that have run like one or two shows and disappeared.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
we had a couple of events that had 10 people at them.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I get you. People want to run. They want to have fun. They're not worried about it. Right. You know, I've seen some of the numbers, you know, of what people paid and then adding in the talent and kind of knowing what the gate was. Oof. That's all I got to say. And that's why we didn't do the show in L.A. a few years back with GCW. He gave me a number that I just thought was incapable of bringing us back enough money. Like, losing money isn't the, you know, lost money on plenty of shows in our existence. But, you know, you have to also look at just like guys working for certain rates. Right. Yeah, okay to work for a certain rate that's way lower than your normal rate if you feel it's going to pay dividends.
Right. You know, what do you think now when you look at the future with HyperX and you're good through December? What do you think it's going to take now from this point until that last contract to show that you would need to make sure happens to potentially continue that relationship? Is, you know, because, you know, obviously this is still, you know, a quarter or you know, a third into the year. There's still a lot more to be done. You know, what is it that you have to focus on to, you know, try to make them want to make sure that you're there for all of 2027?
Well, need the current staff to be there. You know, the CEO is no longer there, who basically contracted us out, and he was not a wrestling fan, Mark. Great, great fucking dude. And gave us the contract on the way out, you know?
Yeah.
And now the number two and the number three are still there, but it's owned by a Chinese company that we don't know right now who is going to become the new number one. Now, if the new number one decides to go in a different direction, that's kind of why we got the safeguard for Mark about getting us there till December. If the same people are in place, if they were able to give me a contract for 2027, it would be done already. But right now there is no head honcho. That the rumor was they were going to have somebody come down recently, and, you know, they haven't yet. So we just need to go out there, produce, and, you know, as I said, Doty, she's fantastic. She's basically the interim CEO and loves everything that we're doing. Oh, it was a great weekend, I heard. Blah, 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 blah. Kyle, who's the huge wrestling fan, you know, right. other than the dumb fucks at the Lucha show doing stupid shit, right. You know, overall, you know, thankfully, I don't think you saw Dr. Wagner give the snap suplex on the stage. The minute they saw him going toward the chairs, he was trying to grab some of the chairs to throw in the ring. And fortunately, the kids, you know, jumped on it and made sure they didn't destroy that because, you know, they have certain no-nos, nothing crazy. Like, you know, we can go through doors and tables and, you know, certain things. But, you know, don't disrespect the venue. It's not a difficult, you know, like, hey, don't jump off the fucking balcony. You know, shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
Like don't get speared headfirst into a wall and crack a hole into it.
Yeah, you know, basic logic,
you know? Yeah,
but it, you know, I guess so, caught in the moment, used to it, you know. Like, I couldn't have a Matt Justice go to the fucking, like, anything I would tell him not to do, he would try to do. You know, we've had two issues. He broke the coffin they borrowed, and he put a hole in our wall wrestling Jacob Fatu. And Brett was like, oh, yeah, Matt Justice is going to fix it for you. Yeah, sure he did. Like he's going to go in there with some stucco and fucking go over the shit.
Yeah. Actually, that might be more entertaining of a pay-per-view right there.
Yeah. So, you know, so, you know, be respectful. It's like, I know. But again, you know, we've been very fortunate with our fans that we've never had the issues that I saw with WWE. And these people are out of fucking control. Okay. Yeah, they're leaving baby oil on the, like, the seats in the media room. Like, bro, what is wrong with you guys?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Dumb as dumb can be. You know? And then it's like, no habla inglés.
Of course. You got to give a shout out to Phil and Marcus. You know, Glenn, of course, had to go see LFC. LFC had a nice crowd for their show, cool. Which was nice to see. And
I didn't hear what you said. Who did?
LFC.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yeah. They actually had a pretty full house. It was impressive for an LFC show. I was very surprised.
I'm pretty sure Glenn King was in the front row, wasn't he?
That's why I was there.
Oh, there you go.
Just wanted to say, man, just seeing what Phil and Marcus did over there, just the two of them pretty much, you know, taking care of everything in terms of as soon as the show was over, breaking it down and getting everything reset.
Yeah, they had to do stuff with the pet, right? And that's the, you know, and that's the reason when the guy from WrestleCon hit me up, you know, Phil and Marcus are the first two names I gave them. So to go make some money. And besides doing that, they were also at our place almost every show. They were bouncing from one to the other, you know. Nobody works harder than those guys. And it's disrespectful for me to put somebody else in a spot over them, regardless. Because, right, man, you can't count, you know, I can't count on too many of the people that are there to be around. You know, sure, there was a good amount that were there one or two times, but I'm pretty much swear I saw Marcus and Phil there almost the entire time. The only time I think Phil was busy was Sunday doing some stuff, so he wasn't there for breakdown. But, yeah, you know, he was there for the setup on Tuesday, and he was there for this, you know, Monday when we had to take down a ring and put the other one in the school. And it's like those guys, you know, are deserving of everything. It's like on top of the money they made, you know, it's like, hey, Phil, you want to do the music? Because it's a payday, you know, and LFC pays pretty decent. So it's like, I'm going to give it to the person who works hard and seemingly is appreciative of what he gets.
Yeah. And also it shows their, you know, shows their passion and their desire. You know, it's not just about, you know, getting ring time or, you know, focuses on me because I'm a performer. No, it's about, I love this shit, and absorbing all that knowledge and everything that comes around you and showing that you want to be a part of it in any way possible. And, you know, there really isn't anything more that you can say about that type of thing, because, you know, obviously they're getting opportunities now. Which,
yeah, for sure. And, you know, what the younger guys do not understand, and I'll spell it out for them once again, you know, because it's a simple thing to do. You know, a lot of times they don't know how to differentiate what helping themselves and helping the company means. You know, yeah. I'll call out Oliver Cannaday, who has a lot of potential. He's gotten good opportunities, he's gone Channel 8. Been on Channel 5, he's gotten jacked, he does the job, but it's pretty disappointing when you don't see him around. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, I came by at 5 in the morning, you know, Channel 8. Yeah, because you were getting to be on TV. So we did need some people. And of course, we got more people to show up at 5 a.m. on a fucking Tuesday than we did to set up a ring at 9 a.m, which was normal time for people. And it's mind-boggling. It was the same day. And nobody could make it, but they all were able to make it at 5 a.m. And it's like, bro, you know, you're talented. Your work, you know, maybe you don't train as much as you should, but you've gotten yourself in phenomenal shape. Him and Jaden Cole had a very good match at Future Shock. He's definitely got the ability, but it really turns me off when a lot of these guys who you try to give these opportunities to don't ever seem to help out the company when we need somebody to be somewhere, you know, unless it immediately benefits you. And that's why I always put over a Jeffrey Excellence, and I always put over the Phil and the Marcus and the Jester Dustin, you know. It's like, and there's others that they're around, maybe not as much, but they're still around. And sometimes you forget that. And I also understand, you know, I look at a lot of these guys, hey, they're kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they're doing it 5, 6 years. And the thing is, maybe they started at 16. You know, they're in the kid class. So the way you look at them and maybe what they are, but when I go to the HyperX and we're setting up the ring, and all of a sudden I see Bodie there setting up the ring.
Right.
And maybe I see Ice Williams setting up the ring, and I still see Jaden Cole setting up the ring, and I see Fox Valentine setting up the ring, and I see AJ Avon setting up the ring. I question why guys from Future Shock aren't there to set up the ring. Like, this is your, this is what is expected of you.
Yeah.
If you can't make it and you're working and you got something going on, 100% understandable. Everybody has to do their thing. But they all forget that all I ask for is a little communication.
Right.
And then they get, oh, I'm not on the show and this. And they all think they're deserving of something. And it's like, as I told one today, just because you're progressing well and doing things, you're not doing anything for me. You know, that's great. Your excuse is, well, you know, I'm trying to hustle, get on the WrestleMania shows. Okay, so what are you doing? Going to every show in town the day of the show thinking you're going to get booked? But there was no show Sunday at 2:30 when we were breaking down the ring because all the shows were done with. It was WrestleMania. There was no shows Monday when we had to take down our ring and then put up another one in our facility. And there was no shows Tuesday at 9 a.m. at the Horseshoe to be there. I get it. Everybody has to work. You're telling me you can't make one of the four setups? No, you're choosing not to make one of any of the four setups because you think there's going to be no repercussions. And as a student, because you're still a fucking student, you're working Future Shock shows. Just because you get on an occasional main show, you still have a long way to go. You're not getting on a show over G Sharp or Jay Vidal when he comes from Florida or Bateman or now Live Danger or the Mariachis or the Suavecitos or Song Lu.
Yeah.
Or Jaden Cole or Ice Williams or Duke or the MK Army. How many guys do I got to name? And how many of those guys didn't get spots on the last show?
Yeah.
You know, these spots, yeah, of course everybody wants to be on the HyperX. We added a little. You got some stuff. We did a pre-show. You know, the next time the youngsters are going to get on the HyperX is going to be at the Battle Royal on the anniversary show, the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. But I'll guarantee you, if that's the only major show you're going to be on and you're not there to help set up the ring, you will not be on the show.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to worry about it. I can get Gabe Rocha, who's really, really good from Arizona, and he'll bring some people that are pretty good. And, you know, Remy will find some guys by talking to Class in Reno that are ready at PCW.
Yep.
Young Money. And, you know, Jacob East is right there on, you know, he's a good Future Shock guy trying to break through. A lot of guys trying to break through.
Yep. And then, you know,
where's the spot for you?
Right. And then, like you said, you've got, you know, the mariachis right now. Santino Brothers tags champs. Oh, mariachis are around people. I'm sure that there's people inquiring to them, hey, what can I do to get on shows over there?
You know, right? My former guy, Robbie E., Robert Stone, you know, he wasn't able to make the show that he was looking to see some of the younger talent, especially Jaden Cole, because I sent him some stuff that he liked what he saw. I just picked up the file from HyperX, but it's like 90 gigs. I got to be able to bring it way down to be, and I can't even open it. I tried opening it here, and it said you couldn't open it, so I have no idea what's going on. So now I'm trying to get it from Title Match because I'm trying to send it to Robbie E. And then I saw one of the mariachis today, and Robbie E. hit him up. So either he saw something from me or he saw something this week, but he's got him in the database. And, you know, Robbie's another Gabe now. So now I have a second guy that can look at some talent. And that's kind of the reason I put Live Danger and Class in Reno with the mariachis and made it a four-way match. Because now Robbie E. can now look at that match. And then he can look at a Bryce Saturn, and he knows Ice very, very well, and he knows who Gipke is. But it's like, here's your chance to see a Jaden Cole, and you know the other guys that are in the match. Right. And hey, confusion with Jay Vidal, and fortunately we had a Boricua on standby in Jared Diaz, and we were able to make it. The Team FSW versus the Boricua Posse. But now here's a young, talented kid who I liked a lot. I just didn't have a spot for him. But because of what happened, the confusion, you know, I'll take partial blame on that. But I did tell Jay when I saw him the day before, and he thought I was talking about another show because he was like, oh, I told you about it. I'm like, yeah, but I saw you the other day, Wednesday at CCW. He's like, well, being that I told you, I thought you were talking about a different show. About the thing up. And it's understandable because he had already told me, I guess, but I forgot. So, but you know what? We made it happen. And now, you know, hey, guess what? Robert Stone can also now take a look at San Lu and Shoga.
Yeah.
And there's a good opportunity for them with tryouts. Or, hey, Bodie is well known by Gabe, but nothing's been done yet of pulling the trigger. But, you know, hey, Robbie, take out this match with Leo Rush. Kid's 18. Could it lead to something? Hopefully.
You know, and you really could point out that guy in the main event, too. You know, that guy was pretty good, too.
Yeah, Cross is good.
Yeah,
you know, I think they know who he is.
Are you sure?
Well, they know. Whether they care is another. You know.
That brings up a good question. You know, it was WrestleMania weekend. The emphasis on that show, of course. Did you get down to the Hard Rock for a little bit to bop your head?
Yeah, I did. I got there before it opened. You know, I watched Jacob Fatu and Drew and thought, okay, opening match. You know, there were falsies everywhere. And, you know, it seemed like it's called WrestleMania, but I'm watching Monday Night Raw.
Sure.
Like, you know, I didn't watch the main events, and from what I hear, Reigns and Punk was fantastic. Yeah. I hear Rhodes and Orton was very good. Yeah. Don't know the philosophy on why they didn't, you know, move the belt to Orton. Are they going to move it to him? Because it looks like the feud's not over, so are you going to have Orton lose again? Which is typical in WWE. You wrestle for the title and lose, but you're still the number one contender, and then you lose again, and then you have a third pay-per-view in a row that you lose. So it's like Super Mania, when it would have been the biggest amount of people watching, having Orton win would have been a big moment. Now you're going to have him win on some, you know, B-level pay-per-view.
Well, and the question is where are they going with it too? Because it seems like for the first time, we saw Cody do a nut shot, do eye raking. These are the things that Cody would never do. And it looks like they're doing a long form transformation from starting with Cena last year and just going this huge, you know, arc to finally eventually get Cody to be a top heel. And the fans are feeling that they don't like him. They don't like it getting pushed down their throats. And it seems like it will be one of those things when, you know, when that time is right that, you know, I mean, they're already put the seeds out there for Punk versus Cody at some point.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. I saw somebody, I don't know who it was, an ex-WWE guy or somebody, and they basically had the perfect word for what WWE right now seems to be, and the word was soulless. You know, sure. You watch it, and it's just all I ever watch is them looking, and they didn't even getting to the next spot. It's just getting to the next show. It's just sure. Like there's no passion involved. You know, WrestleMania. Back in the day, oh my God, Macho Man and Steamboat, man, what a secondary match to Andre and Hogan. My goodness. Right. Now it's like 7-minute match, Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams that could have happened on SmackDown. There's nothing behind it whatsoever. Six-man tag, you got LA Knight and the Usos in a 6-man tag that doesn't go more than 7 minutes. It was like 6-something. And it's just like, hey, they got to be on Mania. Cool. But well, it's not anymore.
But,
you know, Mania was like, oh my, we looked forward to that.
Right. But the difference is that it's no longer run by people who have any concept of that. And literally, TKO is one of the top execs said this week that.
Yeah. Do we believe everything they say?
Well, no, I mean, they literally said, yeah, we bring in these, you know, internet stars and these famous people and whatnot, because our main priority is making money. They don't give a shit.
No, I understand that. But it's like, you know, if you watch Unreal, which is supposed to be the real. No, it sure seems like Triple H is the one, you know, the head of creative.
Oh yeah, and
somebody, you know, in TKO was like, we need Brock Lesnar to retire and have Oba Femi go over on him. I guarantee you, months ago, those guys have no idea who Oba Femi was.
No. There are certain things creatively that they're still doing.
Well, that was one of their claims, that they run creative.
Oh, well, then maybe
that's what they wrote. That's what they said. The Mark Shapiro, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. That we have creative control of everything.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if you say so.
Well, I don't think you would have seen Pat McAfee otherwise.
No. And again, it's no different than when Vince McMahon was in control. He's the first guy. Oh, shit, I can get Lawrence Taylor against Bam Bam Bigelow. So this isn't anything new.
Yep.
What do you think Logan Paul came from? That's why it's hilarious right. When he's talking about all these YouTubers coming in on us. Fucking that is fucking hilarious.
Brilliant. Yeah.
You know, but again, they're also, you know, Bad Bunny did great business.
Right.
And, you know, even Jelly Roll does business. You know, they might have overexposed them a little bit, I think, in terms of the wrestling and doing the stuff. But Pat McAfee got heat. Pat McAfee was loved. So it wasn't like they brought this guy in. Pat McAfee had a really good match with fucking Adam Cole years ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. No, but in terms of that last second, because there was no build with him. It was literally, let's bring him in 2 weeks before.
They felt, you know, They felt because they're going to be, and now remember this, they're on ESPN. So is there a more popular show than the Pat McAfee show on ESPN? He hasn't been on WWE in a long time, but he was while he was hosting that show. He has every single WWE superstar on the Pat McAfee show. So to incorporate him, to me, is an extremely smart idea.
Right. But the question comes down to then, you know, I think that's the whole thing. It's corporatism, but the soullessness of it then is, you know, trickled down to that idea of, like you said, okay, the Usos and LA Knight, they have a 7-minute match. You brought up WrestleMania 3, and I was thinking the same thing when I thought about this. What was the tag team title match on WrestleMania 3?
I'm going to say the Hart Foundation versus probably Bulldogs were gone by then. So I don't know. Killer Bees?
So there was no tag team title match. It was the Hearts as tag champions teaming with Danny Davis against the Bulldogs and Coco Beware, who the big thing was having Matilda and Frankie in the corner of them.
And right, and that's also the thing, because everybody remembers the upper card matches.
Right.
Then they did the same thing to get people on. I remember Greg the Hammer Valentine and Brutus Beefcake in a match together. And there was a lot of shit.
There was a lot of shit. But the top hype was always the big thing. And there's been the rares, even WrestleMania 17, which was one of the best WrestleManias. Overall, it was a great card. But outside of The Rock and Austin headlining and Triple H and Undertaker doing their first match at a WrestleMania that never gets talked about anymore, there's just, you know, there's so much on a card that you can't remember. I think one of the reasons that it doesn't have the same zing anymore is because of the fact that it's 2 days.
2 nights, right. Because now, how good is the WrestleMania card when you have the semi-main is Orton and Rhodes?
Right.
And then you'll have Rhea Ripley winning the title. And then you'll have Obafemi and Brock Lesnar. So now you're at 4. And then you do the ladder match, and now you're at 5. And now maybe cut out, and unfortunately that Oost, and you have Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre. So maybe you don't have that 6-person tag. Too bad, unfortunately. No Usos in that match. And, you know, because if I remember correctly, Logan Paul and Austin Theory, they weren't on Mania at all, were they? They didn't have a match.
Well, they were on that. They were in that. Whatchamacallit? In that.
Oh, tag. The 6-person. Yeah.
Right. Because they had the speed guy on their team.
You know, so. And that's the thing. It's like, but also they wouldn't have did 5 matches or 6 matches and 5 matches or whatever. But now, Oba and Brock and Jacob and Drew. You know, you got 5 top-tier matches.
Yep.
Sami Zayn and Trick Williams wouldn't have been on the show. They wouldn't have sniffed at being on WrestleMania, card that they potentially had, because now you had to probably get 2 matches on the women's side. You know, that women's tag. I bring Paige back. She's got to now win a tag title with somebody she probably didn't even meet till 10 minutes before the show. Come on. That's garbage.
Wait. They were all total divas together. They just never worked as a team.
Where was the Zoe Stark return? Come on.
You know what? Let's just say the Zoe Stark return was perfect where it was, because goddamn, did you see her in that dress? Holy crap, man.
I saw her going down the Facebook. I saw her on the thing. I didn't see much. I saw them posting about it.
Great, you know, it shows how you know, how physically in shape she keeps herself and how close to coming back she is, you know?
It's, well, we know. I know for a fact she's ready. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
exactly.
Already packed.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the call. And kind of hard to make the call when you're bringing back somebody else.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, and again, it's like, and who's making, again, who's making those decisions, right?
And I heard Road Dogg, before he left, he was pitching a big thing for her.
Sure.
So now you got nobody pitching for you. Now what?
Yep.
Now it's the old limbo time.
Yep.
Now she's stuck in limbo because obviously they don't have a master plan for, you know, somebody who came back from a horrific injury.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces. And, you know, it's, you know, you look at it, it's just massive, right? How many people are employed by that company now?
Yeah, I used to always say about AEW, WWE is worse. Now the Street Profits are back into a storyline.
Right.
Magically.
Right. Well, he had to get her pregnant first. That was the whole time off.
Oh, that's why he had to take time off.
Yeah, because you know they were trying for that baby, so and he had to get back into shape. Apparently,
well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, so, but you know, it's again, it's interesting to see where they're going. Truly, you know, was Brock Lesnar? Did Lesnar literally decide that? On the spot.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, I guess, that people coming out of it. Because a lot of the rumors were, hey, they favor Gunther. But it's like, so Gunther has Heyman owes him a favor. What's the favor? Brock Lesnar's going to do what he wants. Brock Lesnar's going to wrestle Gunther because Paul Heyman said, I owe Gunther a favor?
Right.
That makes sense. Right. But like, they had to throw together Seth Rollins versus Gunther. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, you know, and it was the way to get Bron Breakker back and all that. But that was the match that was going to be this. That was another, like, that was the WrestleMania match. Well, that would have been another big match. And again, they could have did 75,000 on one night, but they chose to do 100,000 over two nights.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the box office. You know, we did better box office than last year. Well, of course, because your tickets were 2 to 3 times higher than last year's prices. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know. So the game might be even better.
Yeah. So, final thoughts as we get ready to wrap up here.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to be in rest mode. I haven't been able to get the sleep I wanted to since it. So, you know, we have May 2nd. You know, it's coming up around the corner. Whether there's 11 days away, Future Shock. And then we're back changing the game at May 15th at the HyperX. And we want to put a blowaway card there, you know. Talking to guys like Hammerstone and Graves, who I got to see, and Tito. And, you know, we want to talk about tag division, you know. Talking about Hammerstone and Graves. Talking about Tito and Che.
Yeah.
Being re-added into the mix, talking about who they made the appearance, 5150, you know, Danny and Slice. You bring those three teams in, man, Mariachis better have eyes on the back of their head. All three of those teams are capable of beating any team in the country, let alone beating the Mariachis. So, you know, I'm trying to up the game. We're changing the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and as long as you know, they'll all still work for the
work for the brother Price. Yeah. Well, yeah. I always know Hammer and Graves will.
Yeah,
and so will Danny.
Yeah, of course.
And kind of Tito and Che. It's just getting Che. Che has a good job. You know, I talked with him in San Diego. So. Yeah. It's hard for him to go work an indie show in Vegas. You're going to drive 5 hours to make pretty much the same amount of money you're making to not leave your 5-mile radius of your home.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, we're trying to make things happen.
Yeah, and hell, you just put Tito and Graves in a match, just ring the bell and just let that happen, because holy shit, talk about two guys who are just looking better than they've looked in their entire lives, man.
I mean, if you've seen Che, forget about it, him too.
Jeez, man.
Che's looking close to Hammerstone size.
Wow.
Damn. Who's now looking close to Cage size.
Right. it's crazy. It's wonderful to see. It's wonderful. Yeah. To see. Future Shock's May 2nd. As we sign off, do you have anything planned right now for that Future Shock?
No, right now we're going to be doing probably 4 or 5 tournament matches for the first round of the Future Shock tournament. The belt is now in the plate stage. So, I don't think it'll be ready for them, but it should be ready for the June show to show off. We're going to crown the first Future Shock champion. And there you go. There's a match that's going to happen at the anniversary show. So 2 of our youngsters are going to get a great opportunity. They're going to wrestle for the Future Shock championship at the anniversary show. At the HyperX.
Any possibility a disgruntled veteran might just throw their name into the hat for that?
If it's somebody we haven't seen in a long time and he tricks me and he's under a hood, you know, maybe we have an El Grande Matador that signs in.
Are you sure it was Gringo Loco who was on the show and not just his mask?
It could be the other version from the, what was it? He was training at the school. He was the other member of Imperium or something. It was Ludwig Kaiser, Gunther, the other one.
Yeah. And the other guy.
The one that they brought him back and he would just get his ass beat. And then he got released like 2 weeks later.
Right. And I, for the life of me, I cannot remember the dude's name.
Yeah, there's a cliffhanger for next week. I'll tell you next week.
There you go. That's right. Giovanni Da Vinci, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. He's around.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it for this week. It's over. No more WrestleManias in Vegas. Probably. Well, I don't want to say probably. Who knows? 5 years from now, there could be one. 2 years from now, there could be one. Who knows? But
hopefully, we could only wish.
Right. Make one more run before you retire.
So. All right, I'm going to bed.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Till next week, happy wrestling, everybody.